we covered 19 mitzvahs roughly. We're up to mitzvah chaf. The Rambam writes is the mitzvah to build the Beis Hamikdash. How do you know there's such a mitzvah? So the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, happens to be daf chaf in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara makes a statement: Gimel mitzvahs and testava yisal bichnisasam laaretz. When the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, when they crossed over the Jordan, they became obligated to observe three mitzvahs in a specific order. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim what the order is. First, the Rambam here happens to quote it out of order. But the Gemara says what the correct order is, and all based on Sukkim. First mitzvah, Lahamad Lahamelech, to establish a Jewish government controlling all of Eretz Yisrael. Number two, Lahachin Zara Shalamolek. When you have a government, the government always has a standing army to protect the nation. So you have to have Lahamad Lahamelech to establish a Jewish government, Lahachin Zara Shalamolek to wipe out Amalek, and when the Pasuk says, when it will be peaceful in Eretz Yisrael, then Livnas Lahem Beis Abchira. So the Rambam says, you see, that to build the Beis Abchira is a mitzvah min Torah. And the other two are also mitzvahs. It's interesting, the Ramban doesn't agree 100% with the Rambam's listing of mitzvahs. Ramban, in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and in the listing of the Ramban here and there deletes a whole bunch of mitzvahs. He has to replace them with other mitzvahs. At the end of the listing of the Ramach mitzvahs, I say, Ramban has a list of 19 mitzvahs that he thinks the Ramban forgot. And at the end of the mitzvahs, Laisa, I say, he also, I think, has a list of 19, 20 mitzvahs, something like that. Mitzvahs Laisa, I say, that the Ramban forgot to count. 70 mitzvahs, whatever. So the Ramban has one of the more famous ones that the Ramban has is mitzvahs essay Dalid. The Rambam left out the mitzvah in last week's Seder. Yesterday's Seder. Today's Sunday, right? So yesterday we read Matas Maseh. So there's a pasuk there in Maseh when you have the gvulos of Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah says, V'harashtem esaretz v'yishabtem bo. Harashtem esaretz means you should chase out the nations, the Goyishim nations, and seize control of all of Eretz Yisrael. V'yishabtem bo, the Jews should all live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban writes, that's a mitzvah, but all the Jews have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. If life is going to be miserable in Eretz Yisrael, let's say if you live in America, you have a parnasa. You live in Eretz Yisrael, you have to live off of charity, can't make a living, so then you're not mechayev to live in Eretz Yisrael. But if it's approximately, if it's reasonable, then every Jewish person has a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says, the Rama forgot to count that mitzvah. So there's a whole literature, how come the Rambam didn't count that mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So the Knesset HaGdolah writes, the Rambam thinks that the Rambam quotes all the dinim, the Mishnah is the very end of Ksubas, that there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but the Rambam thinks that it's only a mitzvah in the Rabban, not a mitzvah in the Torah. So that's why he doesn't include it, because the Rambam, on the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, list off the 14 guiding principles that determine which mitzvahs belong in the Minyan Tanag, which not. So the Rambam says if it's a mitzvah, the Rabban doesn't belong. That's very difficult, Knesset HaGdolah, to say like that. It's a pasuk in Chumash. What do you mean it's mitzvah Rabban? The simple reading of the Chumash is that it's a mitzvah in the Torah. So most don't accept that answer. So others give different answers. So some say the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael. That's part of the mitzvah of Vo Sidbuk. You should become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to live in Eretz Yisrael. There's a Hashuas HaShchina. Eretz HaShirini HaShem HaKech HaBa Mireishis HaShana HaRach Rishona. There's Mahashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael. So it means that you're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Vo Sidbuk. And the Rambam counted the mitzvah of Vo Sidbuk. Others give a different shot, that the Ramban al Chumash writes that, and they think the Rambam could be that the Rambam agrees. The Ramban al Chumash says the Yikam Mokam for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. So maybe the Rambam also agrees to that. So the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael doesn't exist as an independent mitzvah and enhances the mitzvah of Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha, Lulav and Shofar and Tzitzis. Every mitzvah, if you observe it in Eretz Yisrael, is enhanced. They say that Rav Nevenzahl, very big Talmud Chacham, big tzaddik, So they say Rav Nevinzel, once in a while he would have to go to a wedding, a chutz lords or something. So if you have a possibility of davening mincha, a ma'ariv, and chutz lords, or waiting till he gets in Eretz Yisrael, he'll wait till he gets in Eretz Yisrael. They say Kiddush Levon, a chutz lords, to say in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rabbanu Chumash says that any mitzvah that you do in Eretz Yisrael is a deeper kiyama mitzvah. That's what others suggest, that the Rambam holds like that Ramban, that all the mitzvahs that you do in Eretz Yisrael, the Yikam Mokam Kashmir is called a mitzvah is in Eretz Yisrael. So this mitzvah of the Yishavtim Bo, to live in Eretz Yisrael, is really a prat in all the mitzvahs. The Rambam doesn't count it as a separate mitzvah. And others give a different answer, the Avnei Nezer gives a different answer. He says, just like the Rambam writes, the Rambam has the 14 guiding principles that determine which mitzvahs belong in the minyan tamayag and which not. So the Rambam has one of the more famous Shoroshim, the Shorosh Tess. So the Rambam says that if you have a mitzvah repeated a few times in the Chumash, like it says, don't eat shrotzim. So the Rambam says, if it's a kefal alav, a kefal mitzvah, you only get once malchus, you only count once in the minyan mitzvahs. It doesn't make sense to count it a few times. Just to repeat the same mitzvah, it's repeated for emphasis. But just because it says five times not to eat a sheretz, there's no reason to count it as five different mitzvahs. So the Avnei Nezer quotes the many svarim on this, the many svarim, a whole literature on the topic of minyan mitzvahs. So one of the svarim is Mayone HaChochma. So the Avnei Nezer quotes it. So Mayone HaChochma has a klal. He has certain problems with the Rambam's minyan mitzvahs, and he comes up with a klal. Not only if you have a kefal mitzvah, if the mitzvah is repeated, you only count it once in the minyan mitzvahs. What if there are two mitzvahs? One mitzvah is in order to lead up to another mitzvah. In the Rambam, it's not going to count it twice. It's the same mitzvah. You have to do this in order to lead up to that. So that's one and the same mitzvah. So that's what Rav Nezer thinks, that there's a mitzvah. Achrim Tachrimen, we should wipe out all the Zionumas living in Eretz Yisrael. And then what? Then we should move back to Barabak. Then we move back to Bansi. No. Achrim Tachrimen, and we should move in. So since the mitzvah of Achrim Tachrimen, to wipe out the Zionumas, is in order to lead up to the second step, the Yishavtim Bo, we should live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam didn't count it twice, he only counts one. And he has a few more examples like that, where the Rambam only counted but one mitzvah is for the purpose of leading up to the other. The Rambam is not going to count them as two. It's in a certain sense like kefal is. So the different explanations why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So here, one of the several commentaries printed in this standard edition is Megillas Esther. The Shach already quotes Megillas Esther. The Shach lived in the late 1600s, and Megillas Esther lived in there earlier, before the Shach. So the Megillas Esther comes to defend the Rambam. Why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So he says the Rambam writes in the 14 guiding principles. So the second of the 14 guiding principles is if a mitzvah is only known through the Torah Shebal Peh. If a mitzvah is only harashah, it doesn't belong in the minyan mitzvahs. Let's say the Jews had a knock on the next door neighbor's doors in Mitzrayim on Erev Pesach. They asked for matonis. It says in Shchumish v'shoa leish and mishchen to mikolach nigar is beisa kolachesa v'chleizua v'smolas. So the Rambam says that was only once in the history of the world. That doesn't belong in the minyan mitzvahs. So yesterday sedra, there was a mitzvah trumas ameches. That after the Jewish army won the Milchama against Midian, so they had a lot of animals and they took women as captives. The din is that when you wage a war, you're not allowed to kill civilians. You're only allowed to kill soldiers. The soldiers are the enemy. So you're not allowed to kill, usually, you're not allowed to kill Noshim Vatav. Because years ago, no country would draft women in the army. They wouldn't draft people, young people, Taf. Taf is under the age of 20. They wouldn't draft anybody. Now in Eretz they draft from the age of 18. That's against the Chumash. It says, Rashi in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar says, you're not allowed to draft someone in the army who's younger than 20. So that's, usually that's the klal. Noshim etap, you don't kill because they're civilians.
Is it that they can't be drafted at 18 or they can't start serving, because like they can go training for like 2 years, 3 years, and then they actually are serving in the army.
Okay. Okay. You don't have them in functioning as soldiers before the age of 20. Okay. Yes. So in yesterday's Seder, it says that there was an army, the Jewish army had 12. There were 12 shvatim, and each Shevet sent 1,000 soldiers. There were 12,000 soldiers in the Jewish army, and they won the war against Midian. So they had the loot that they took, a lot of behemoths, thousands of behemoths, and a lot of women. So they divided, the Torah said they have to divide all of these 50-50. The 12,000 soldiers, because they went to war, they got half of the loot. And the rest of the nation got half. And then each group had to give Trumas HaMechas, had to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, and part of it went to the Kohen, and part of it went to the Levi. So the soldiers had to only give from their half, they had to give Echad Achuz B'Chamesh HaMeyos, 1 out of 500. 1 out of 100 is 1%, 1 out of 500 is a fifth of a percent, 0.2%. And Bnei Yisrael had only got half of the loot, so they had to give Echad Achuz Ben HaChamishim, they had to give 2%. 1 out of 50 is 2%. So the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolus, wrote a Sefer HaMitzvah. That's the Halachas Gedolus. It's a Sefer HaMitzvah. He lists off what, in his opinion, are the 613 mitzvahs. So he says, Trumas HaMechas is one of the mitzvahs. So the Rambam makes fun of the Bahag, and he says, the Gemara said the fairest, that was only Har Rasha once in the history of the world. When they won the war against Midian, they had to donate a certain percentage. But they still had to give 1 out of 50, 2%, and the soldiers had to give 1 out of 500. But the Doris, there is no such thing that whenever the Jewish army wins a battle, you have to donate from the loot to the Beis HaMikdash. There is no such thing. So why did the Bahad count it? It's only Hirosh. That's the taina of the Rambam against the Bahad. So here at Megillah Sester comes to defend the Rambam. Hakan Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of Rashtun Sars from Shaptimbo. So he quotes the Gemara in the end of Ksubis. The Gemara says the end of Ksubis, there is a pasuk that appears in Shir HaShirim three times. It's repeated three times. Hishbati Eschem Rosh Yerushalayim, Im Toiru, Esa Ahava, Atchatechmat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people take a Shavuah, and the pasuk appears three times. So the Gemara says there were shalosh shavuos. Kadosh Baruch had the Jewish people take three oaths. What are the three oaths? So one of them was, we won't force the issue, we won't force the Umas Olam to give us Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban quoted that pasuk for Harashtim yesterday, Sedra. For Harashtim, so Eretz, we should seize hold of the land, the Yishabtim, but we should live there. So Harashtim, and the Ramban writes, in all generations there is a din min haTorah. If the Jewish people have the ability to put together an army, the Haganah, the Palmach, whatever, it wasn't a Jewish people, there was no Jewish Medina yet. If we have the ability to put together an army to conquer Eretz Israel and to make it into a Jewish homeland, so the Ramban says you have a mitzvah to do that. But the Megillah Sester says, so we took a shvuah, we're not going to do that. That's the shvuah shel yimadu b'umas, we won't force the issue. So the Megillah Sester says, since that mitzvah to seize hold of Eretz Yisrael doesn't apply in all the generations because of the Shavuah, Shalosh Shavuah, Shishbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, so therefore the Rambam didn't count it as a mitzvah sesi because not noheges l'doros, it's not noheg b'zman hazeh because of the Shalosh Shavuah. So the Pashta says that he's 100% wrong on a few levels. So Davne Nezer was a Chassidish Rebbe, Sochet Shav Rebbe. He died around 100 years ago. So they asked him, Ashal, he was a Chassidish Rebbe. So they asked him, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh? And if there is, how come the Gdoli HaChassidis didn't move to Eretz Yisrael? He was a Chassidish Rebbe. How come all the Tzadikim, all the Chassidish Rebbes in Europe before him, how come they didn't move to Eretz Yisrael? So first he shows absolutely there is a mitzvah b'zman hazeh. We should all live in Eretz Yisrael, whatever it's within reason. If you move to Eretz Yisrael, you won't make a living, and chutz lo you will, then there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael to live off of charity. But if you can live in Eretz Yisrael reasonably, it's not too, let's say the food is not available in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have to fast 3 days a week. So that's unreasonable. But now, you can get everything in Eretz Yisrael. You won't be as rich as you will be in Chutz Lo'aretz, but you'll be able to make ends meet. So there's really a mitzvah. Everybody has a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Avnezer first starts this Jew. He says, absolutely, everyone agrees there is a mitzvah, this manazev, to live in Eretz Yisrael. What the Megillah says is said over here, that one of the three Shavuos, the pasuk appears three times in Shabbat Yeskam and Oshim Shalayim, and the Gemara interprets what the three Shavuos were. So one of them was, we won't force the issue to establish a Jewish government. I mean, temporarily, for a couple of years, you're not allowed to fulfill that mitzvah of putting together an army to conquer Eretz Yisrael, but to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban wasn't asking about establishing a Medina. Megillah Sester says, we're not allowed to establish a Medina today because of the Shalosh Shavuos, if it's against the wishes of the Yom HaSoil. But the Ramban wasn't talking about, the Ramban had a whole comment on the whole pasuk, Harashtim Sa'aretz, Yishavtim Basav. Harashtim Sa'aretz means we should put together an army and seize and grab hold of Eretz Yisrael and establish a Jewish government. That the Ramban did count. The Ramban does count that. That's how the Ramban has a section, Hilchos Melachim and Melchama Seyem. So Hilchos Melachim begins like that. Gimel Mitzvahs, Nitztavi Yisrael, Bichnisasim Laretz, Lamed Lahamelech, to establish a Jewish government controlling all of Eretz. So the Rambam did count the mitzvah of Amoras Melech. Not like the Megillah says that mitzvah doesn't apply to the man. It did count it. And even though the Shalosh Shavuos, that's not called the mitzvah Shein and the Heges L'Doris. Let's say today we don't bring Karbonis. So why did the Rambam count the mitzvah of Karbonis? It's not the Hegel's of Duris. Not Hegel's of Duris, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdosh. The Rambam counts the mitzvah of being Mafresh, Trumas HaMaisis. The Rambam says that this banner that we pass in Shulchan Aruch like the Rambam. Trumas HaMaisis, this banner says only by the Rabbanah, because we're missing some of the conditions to have the obligation to be Mafresh, Trumas HaMaisis. The mitzvah in principle is not Hegel in the Hegel's of Duris. And in Mos HaMashiach, there will be a mitzvah to be Mafresh, Trumas HaMaisis. There will be a mitzvah to bring Karbon. Nay, temporarily, there are certain conditions that are lacking. That's not called the Harashah. Mitzvah Shein the Hegazadaris, maybe it's only Harashah once in the history of the world. Like to give Trumas HaMechas, that was once in the history of the world. To knock on the necks of neighbor's doors and Erev Pesach to ask for Matonis. That's a Harashah, that he doesn't count. But because the din is not Noig Bizman Hazeh, because they're missing some of the conditions, that's not called Ein Noig Ladaris. He says, Avdenezer says, the whole Megillah says that it's wrong from top to bottom. He missed the whole point of the Ramban. Ramban is talking not about the mitzvah of Harashtim Masoret. That mitzvah the Rambam did count. Hamoras Melech, to establish a Jewish government controlling us. The Rambam didn't count that mitzvah. The mitzvah that the Rambam failed to count, that the Ramban is upset about, is Vishaptim Bo. We should live in Eretz Yisrael. That there's no Shavua against that. No Shalosh Shavuos against that. So he said, Megillah says this in Gansan Ruach. So here, the Rambam counts all three. Gimel mitzvah, mitzvah chavis says, Gimel mitzvah, shestav Yisrael, b'chnisasim la'aretz, l'hamad l'hamelech, he counts that mitzvah. L'achav zara shalom malach, he counts that mitzvah. And then, libnas lam beis ha'bchira. He counts this mitzvah, he counts all the three mitzvahs. Remember, soon after Muhammad Sheshet Hayamim, so the Jewish people had control of the Harabayis. So people were tumbling, we have a mitzvah, you have an obligation to build a beis ha'migdash. So remember Rabbi Soloveitchik said, what are they, crazy? The Arabs are still interested in fighting. It's not peaceful yet. Gemara said, b'feirush, there's no mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash until it's totally peaceful in Eretz Yisrael. After you wipe out Amalek, and it's peaceful in Israel. It's not peaceful yet. Every day there are terrorists in Eretz Yisrael. Since the beginning, there are terrorist activities every day. Now they don't write them up in the newspaper. Nachal HaRedi is the Frumid battalion in the army. They kill terrorists every week. The mazel is that they don't write it up in the newspapers. Years ago, they used to write everything up in the newspaper. And the Medina Sisod is very appreciative to this Nachal HaRedi, to the Frumid soldiers. They're responsible for the peace in the whole area in Eretz Yisrael. They're killing terrorists all the time. So if there are terrorist activities, there's no mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. Mitzvah only begins when it's peaceful in Eretz Yisrael. And the goyim are behaving, Then there's a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash. That's mitzvah chaf. Mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaBchira. Beis HaBchira. The Beis HaMikdash in Shiloh, there was a Beis HaMikdash, but it wasn't the Beis HaBchira. Beis HaBchira means everlasting. There are two parts to Bechira. If you look, if you learn Parshas Re'eh, so it says twice, Mokam Shivch Hashem Yikol Shivchem, Losem Mishmai Shom. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim that the first time it says Mokam Shivch Hashem is talking about Mishkan Shiloh. Second time it's talking about Yerushalayim. And Rashi explains why. Bechira usually has two parts to it. One part is, this is the girl I'm going to marry, Bechira's Libi. You write down a wedding invitation. The boy's going to marry the girl, Bechira's Libo, the one whom he chose. So Bechira means this girl to the exclusion of all others, and it means Bechira, everlasting Bechira. I want to stick with this girl forever. So Mishkan Shiloh, there was an Issa Bamas when they had Mishkan Shiloh. So Shiloh was a base of Migdash, but you can't call it a base of Bechira. It only had a half, a partial Bechira. There was Bechira to the exclusion of all other places. There was an Issa Bamas there. But then when they built it, Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, that was the Beis HaBchira. Because it had a double Bechira. It's Bechira, there's an Issa Bamas inclusion of all other places. And it's Mirastach Le'Yonam. The Beis HaMikdash, Ein Achrei HaHeter. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there isn't going to be any other location in the world where the Beis HaMikdash will be built. That's Zos Menuchasa Adiyat Poeshe Ki'i Siyo. Sukim in Tehillim. And other places in Tanakh. Yerushalayim is the Mokam HaNivcha. But that's why the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim is referred to as the Beis HaBechira, the full Bechira, the double Bechira. Yerushalayim, to the exclusion of all other places, there's an Issa Bamas and the Yoel HaMavoid. The Bechira is the Yoel HaMavoid. But that's why they're right. The Iker Mitzvah is really to build that Beis HaBechira. Then Mitzvah Chaf Aleph, Hushin Tzivan Alira Min HaMikdash. It says, Migdoshi Tira'u. So the Gemara has a comment, the Raman quotes at the beginning of Yevamos, the Gemara has a comment, Lo min HaMikdash Aton Nisiyarei, not when you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you should fear that the walls may collapse on you. So don't go. If you're afraid the walls are going to fall, so don't go there. Make sure that they fix the walls, somebody can get killed. It doesn't mean you should have Moira HaMikdash from the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Misha Tzival HaMikdash, you should have fear of God, the one who instructed us to build the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, but that's the other mitzvah, Es HaShem L'kech HaTira. To have Yiras Hashemayim is to have Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. So Yiras Hashem, the Raman quoted in the beginning of the mitzvah Seseh, mitzvah Gimel and mitzvah Dalet was to have Avas Hashem and to have Yiras Hashem. So what's added over here to have Yiras Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash means in the Beis HaMikdash you should emphasize Yiras Hashem. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, when there's a conflict between Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, the emphasis usually placed on Avas Hashem. That's the Ramban al Torah writes that. And Parshas Yisro, on the Pasuk Zochas Yom Shabbos Lekatshoi. So the Ramban, the Ibn Ezra there raises a question. Why did the Gemara only worry about the Aseres HaDibros appears twice in the Chumash? It appears in Parshas Yisro, then it appears in Parshas Vayeschanan. So the Gemara said there's a contradiction, and it's supposed to be. The Luchos Shneis is supposed to be word for word, the same as the Luchos of Shoenis. Bar-Shalom says going to write on the Luchos Shneis exactly what he wrote on the Luchos Rishonim. The Gemara says that there's a contradiction that in Parshas Yisro it says Zochas Yom Shabbos Lekatshoi, in Vayeschanan and it says Shomer. So what do you do with that contradiction? So Ibn Ezra on Chumash and Parshas Yisro says, Why did the Gemara only worry about Zochar v'Shomer? There are other contradictions also. More than Zochar v'Shomer. Shabbos, but there's Shabbos and Zechel Abayis, Maaseh Bereishis, Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's also a glaring contradiction. A few other contradictions. Sachmat, Sesava, a few other contradictions. Why did the Gemara only worry about Zochar v'Shomer? So the Ramban explains, very interesting Ramban there on Parshas Yisro. He says, when the Chumash quotes what somebody said, it's not a verbatim quotation. Sometimes we learn Adina from the way the Chumash quotes, who the person who spoke was such a holy tzaddik, he's telling us Adin. Now the Rabban Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, write it in such a way so that Bnei Yisrael will understand there's certain mitzvah from the way I'm dictating for. But when they quote someone speaking, it's not necessarily verbatim quotation. So the same thing the Ramban writes, when the Chumash says what was the text of the Aseres HaDibros, it's not necessarily word for word what it said in Aseres HaDibros. The Chumash just gives you the gist of what it said. But here, so the gist of what it said, you look in Parshas Yisro, Parshas Vayeshanan, it's approximately the same. It could be that it didn't say neither text. It could be it was a third text. The Chumash only giving you the gist of what it says. But Zachar v'Shamar is a glaring contradiction. Zachar is an essay, and Shamar is a lois essay. So which was it? Was it a mitzvah essay? Was it a mitzvah lois essay? And that's where the Gemara was concerned about Zachar v'Shamar. The Gemara says they were both proclaimed bevasachar, simultaneously. Key people can't say two things at the same time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Zachar v'Shamar at the same time. So the Ramban explains there, what's the difference? What's the big difference between a mitzvah sese and a mitzvah lo sese? He says it's a glaring contradiction because Zachar is a mitzvah sese, Shamar is a mitzvah sese. What's the difference between an essay and a lo sese? The Ramban says that we have a mitzvah of Avas Hashem and another mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. The source, the binding source of all of the mitzvahs say is Avas Hashem. We should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make him happy to do what he wants us to do. What is the binding source of observing mitzvahs? Like says, say, Yiras Hashem, we should fear God and shouldn't violate the averes that he tells us not to do. But the Ramban says an interesting insight. He says, all mitzvahs I say stem, or they all flow, from the fact that we're supposed to have Avas Hashem, and all mitzvahs like say stem from the fact that we're supposed to have Yiras Hashem. Which of the two takes precedence? Which is more important, Avas Hashem or Yiras Hashem? So the Ramban raises the issue, philosophical issue. So he says, Avas Hashem is more important than Yiras Hashem, and that's why there's a din, Eser Decha Lo Sesei. If you have a conflict between the mitzvah Sasei and the mitzvah Lo Sesei, since the mitzvah Sasei, the binding force of all the mitzvah Sesei is to demonstrate that you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the binding force of all the mitzvahs lo sesei is to demonstrate that you fear God, you have Yiras Hashem. So esei decha lo sesei, because Avas Hashem is more important than Yiras Hashem. So here the Ramban writes, "Omigdoshi tiro." He quotes mitzvah chafa. The Ramban writes, "Omigdoshi tiro." Moira hamigdosh doesn't mean you should fear the Beis Hamigdosh. What? You should be afraid the building may collapse on you. No, you should fear God. Fear God as Hashem lekecha tiro means. In the Beis HaMikdash, you should emphasize Yiras Hashem more so than Avas Hashem. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, you have Avas Hashem takes precedence over Yiras Hashem. And in the Beis HaMikdash, there Yiras Hashem should take precedence over Avas Hashem. That's why we always have in Yiratzin, Shibbonim Beis HaMikdash, B'meri Ameinu, Sham Na'avod Chabiyira. You avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, we should emphasize the Yira, not so much the Ahavot. And some of the Gdolim write that that's why there's a din, Eser Decha Lo Sesei doesn't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. Because the whole reason why Eser Decha Lo Sesei, the Ramban explained, was because Avas Hashem is more important than Yiras Hashem. But in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to emphasize Yiras Hashem should be more important than Avas Hashem. And that's Mitzvah Chof and Chof Aleph. Mitzvah Chof is to build the Beis HaMikdash. Mitzvah Chof Aleph, when you have the Beis HaMikdash and you're there present in the Beis HaMikdash, you should have special degree, a higher degree of Yiras Shamayim. The mitzvah.
There's a museum in Yerushalayim near the Kotel that I believe that built replicas of the cave of the Beis HaMikdash. Is that familiar?
I don't hear what you say.
There's a museum near the Kotel.
Okay.
Virtual reality that built replicas of the cave of the Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
And they believe that their replicas are going to be carried down to the Mosa Mashiach.
They hope that they're preparing it for the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says you're not allowed to make a menorah for yourself, the same menorah as in the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to make a room the same size as the rooms in the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to make a shulchan in the same dimension. But if you're making a shulchan to be used in the Beis HaMikdash, so their Rabbanim told me that that's permissible. So they made a menorah.
Is the Rav think that that would be a kiyum of this mitzvah
called Beis HaMikdash? Yeah, the Pashtus is Beis HaMikdash and make all the kelim are included.
Even if it enters the rough that these kelim will be used in the Beis HaMikdash?
I don't know. Possibility. Possibility. that mitzvah beis, the Rambam has a din from Chumash, Mishnayos and Maseches Tamid. You have to have palace guards in the Beis HaMikdash in different locations. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. Sometimes the palace guards have to be Kohanim, in some locations they have to be Levim. Sometimes they were Ketanim before Bar Mitzvah. That's a discussion that the Rishonim raised. Why did they give the Shmirah? Why did they give little Ketanim before Bar Mitzvah the right to do the Shmirah? The Mitzvah should really be observed, should be fulfilled by people after Bar Mitzvah. These are problems. This is a question, would it make sense to Zman Hazeh? There is a Machlekes, the Rambam and the Raivim, the Machlekes HaTanoim, and a Machlekes HaMaroim, and a Machlekes, the Rambam and the Raivim, whether the Kedushas HaMikdash still applies to Zman Hazeh. The Rambam's opinion is that the Kedushas HaMikdash was Kitchen Lo Seilova. Shlomo HaMelech built the first piece of Mikdash, so the Kedusha is still there from the days of Shlomo HaMelech. It never changed. The Rambam, the Raivim disagree, Rambam also. The Rabbin and the Rambam both paskin the other way. They both hold that so, but for two different reasons. So the Rabbin writes that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first place on Migdash, he knew that it was going to be destroyed. So when he built it, he was only Mekadoshit Lizman. So after the Zman was up, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the Babylonian armies, so the Kedusha vanished into thin air. Then when Ezra and Nehemiah built the second Beis HaMikdash, Yodei Yehoya Ezra, he knew Beruach HaKodesh that the second Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. It's only Mikadoshit Lizman. After the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the Kedusha vanished into thin air. That's what the Raivid writes. And the Rambam says, no, that the Mokam HaMikdash, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, it was Kitcha Losi Lova. So the Shada was asked of the Avnei Nezer, this Tzochot Shavu Rebbe. Chassidish Rebbe died about 100 years ago. So he asked him a Shaila, if you all like the Rambam, that the Mokam HaMikdash is Kitcha Losi Lova, it doesn't make sense that we should have the Kohanim and Levim standing guard in the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe we should have palace guards. So the Avnei Nezer writes, it's ridiculous. Palace guards, if you ever went to Buckingham Palace, so they have the change of the guards. So it's a very classy thing. You have the British police are dressed up and they stand and they change guard and everything. It's not only to protect the palace from Ganovim, that Ganovim shouldn't come and steal things. The palace guards in the Beis HaMikdash is not only to protect the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, the expensive kelim, gold and silver and so on. A palace guard looks fancier. It's more of a cupboard thing if you have palace guards there, even if you're not concerned that anybody's going to steal anything. So the Avnei writes, it doesn't make sense. It's a joke. The Beis HaMikdash in the state of Churban, I'm going to have palace guards. It's going to enhance the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash in the state of Churban. It doesn't make any sense at all. That's what David Nezer wrote 100 years ago. There was a rabbi in recent years, there was a big Talmid Chacham. Rabbi Chaim Zinnemann, he was a big super genius. He was a nephew of Rabbi Baruch Ber. He learned by Rabbi Baruch Ber. Then when he came to America, he learned in Yeshiva College. He learned by Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik. And then he used to be the Rosh Yeshiva Skoki, and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he retired there. So he had this wild idea, we should call upon all the Kohanim and Levim all over the world, and they should stand palace guards in the Beis HaMikdash. We should make an awareness. It didn't get off the ground, we didn't do it. Anyway, so that's Mitzvah HaBeis, that we should have palace guards guarding in the Beis HaMikdash. When you have a Beis HaMikdash, when you have a palace. If there's no palace, it doesn't make sense to have palace guards.
Rabbi, what did the Ramban think of, why did he say that Kedushas HaRabayis only stayed in the times that the Beis HaMikdash stood?
The Gemara says in the Dorim that at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash there were tons of money in the Beis HaMikdash that was Hekdash, certain Roman coins, and then the Roman soldiers came and they took all the money, so there's a lot of Hekdish Dika money floating around in the world. So the Gemara raises an issue, you shouldn't be allowed to use any of those Roman coins because some of them are Hekdish. The Gemara quotes a Pasuk in Yecheskel. Pasuk in Yecheskel says, Bo, but preachim the Chilaluhu. When the Goyim come in and they defiled all the things of the Beis HaMikdash, they used them as Be'ach for Avodah Zarah purposes. So once they used them for Avodah Zarah purposes, it was Yotze L'chulim. So the Ramban says, not only was the money Yotze L'chulim and the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbech, everything, the tangible things, the latitude and longitude was Yotzin V'chulun also. That's a Chiddush. You know, Bo Ba Pritzin V'chilalu, Yemafkeh the Kedusha, if there's an object, a Chetzer that has Kedusha. He says even a location. It's not the offer. That latitude and longitude, that Mokam has Kedusha. The Ramban applies a Bo Ba Pritzin V'chilalu to that too. So he says at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, the Goyim used the Mokam HaMikdash for their secular purposes. So that canceled the Kedusha. The end of the Bayis Sheni period, also the Goyim defiled the whole Mokam HaMikdash. So we apply that pasuk, the Bo'al Vapritz and the Chilalu, the Mechalalu Kedusha. That's what the Ramban write. That's a different explanation. But the Rabbi learned differently, that Yudea Hoya Ezra, Ezra knew that the second Bayis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. He was only Mekadosh the Zman in the first place. They come to the same conclusion, but from a different angle, from a different reason. So that's mitzvah chav beis. You should have palace guards. And the Avner Nezer thinks that it doesn't make any sense to have palace guards today. There's no palace to beis hamikdash is b'churbanai, so you don't enhance the beauty of the location by having people stand on a churban. What's mitzvah chav gimel? It's a mitzvah on all of the levim to do Avodah Salavim in the Beis HaMikdash. There are certain jobs that have to be done by Kohanim, Akrobas HaKarbonis, and then there are certain jobs that have to be done by the Levim. The Levim were divided into two groups, Sukkim and Dibra Yomim, and the Gemara has like that. They were divided into two groups. It's a Gemara in Erechin. They were Mishorerim and they were Shoarim. Some of them would sing music when the Kohanim would pour the wine. The Levim only sing Shira, play Shira. They played musical instruments. So they only have Shira while the Kohanim are pouring the wine down the pipes on the Mizbeach. There were Shisim, pipes on the Mizbeach. So they would pour Mechosim in his cave. They would pour the wine down the pipes and they get absorbed in the ground. So while the Kohanim are pouring the wine every day after the Tumid, after the Musaf and so on, the Levim would sing Shira. So they were Mishorerim. Half of the Levim were Mishorerim. They would either play music or they would sing the Shir Shal Yom. And then half of the Levim were Shorim. Their job was a shar is a gate. They would lock the gates every night and open the gates every morning. The Gemara says the Levim were Memuna. They were appointed Ishi Shalabadas of Al Masoi. The Levi had to be appointed. If you are Mishorer, you're supposed to sing music. And instead, you went to lock the gates in Chaim Misa Vadei Shemai. That's the Gemara. Mishorer Shashir. Chayav Misa. The Levim were divided into two groups. The Soloveitchik family, the word Soloveitchik is a Russian word for a nightingale. Nightingale is a bird that sings nicely, has a good voice. So when the Russian government required of all the Jewish people they should adopt a family name, so the Soloveitchik Soloveim, they had a tradition that they are descendants of the Mishorerim. They themselves didn't have such good voices. Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't have a good voice. Chaim Soloveitchik didn't have a good voice either. Baruch Be'er had a good voice. They asked for Baruch Be'er. Everything he got from the Rebbe, where did he get the voice from? The Rebbe didn't have a good voice. That's the only thing he had on his own. The learning he all got from his Rebbe. So they themselves were not such, in recent years of celebration, didn't have such good voices, but their tradition, their family tradition has it, that they were from the Mishorerim of the Beis HaMikdash. That's when the Russian government required that they had to take on family names. So they adopted the name Soloveitchik, which means a nightingale, because they were good singers. So the Rambam counts this as mitzvah chav gimel. The Levim are obligated. Levim all over the world are obligated to do their function in the Beis HaMikdash, either to do shira, to be mishorerim, or to be shoarim. That's mitzvah chav gimel. Mitzvah chav dalet, before kohanim are permitted to do Avodah, to be Makrim Karbonis, they have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, either from the water in the Kiyar, or from water that was Niskadish and any Klisharis. The Rambam's opinion is that L'chatchila, they should do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, to wash their hands and to wash their feet. You have to do Kiddush Adayim L'chatchila from the Mei HaKiyar. If you do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim from water that was Niskadish and any Klisharis, but yet it's good, then L'chatchila should be from the Kiyar. The Ramban Achumish argues with that Rambam. He says, how can he say that L'chatchila? You have to use Davka Mei Hakir. It says the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, because he had to do all the Avodah from A to Z, did everything himself. So they tried to lighten the burden to him. So they try to do to help him out as much as possible. Instead of requiring of the Kohen Gadol that he should run to the Kiyor to do Kiddush Lam HaLayim. So they brought a klisharis to him and he poured the water from the klisharis. So Ramban asked, but if the Rambam is right, that l'chatchila is a mitzvah min ha-mufcher to do Kiddush HaLayim from the Kiyor, so on Yom Kippur they only did b'di'evet. Yom Kippur should do the way it's supposed to be l'chatchila. That's the Ramban HaChumash asked that kash against the Rambam, quotes the Rambam. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, if you read the Rambam slowly and carefully, the Rambam and Mishnah Torah, Rambam never said l'chatchil you should do Kiddush HaLayim from the Kiyor. You should do Kiddush HaLayim using water that was niskadosh in the Kiyor. The Mishnah says on Yom Kippur they would take water from the Kiyor. The Kiyor was a klisharis. They took water from the Kiyor, put it into a different klisharis and brought it to the Kohen Gadol. So he wouldn't have to walk so far. But the water was niskadosh in the Kiyor. He didn't use the kir to pour on his hand and his feet. But to use the water was in Scottish begin, so they did it, point to Ram. They did it the way it's supposed to be done, l'chatchila. Based on that din of Kiddush Lam HaLayim, we have a din that the Rambam has the sheet. When we wake up in the morning, we wash until Tzedam, we say a bracha. What is the bracha? What is it all about? On until Tzedam. There are different opinions in Shulchan Aruch. So the one opinion, the Rambam's opinion, is that before you're about to daven mincha, you have to wash your hands with a kli. Before you daven ma'ariv, you have to wash your hands with a cup of water. And it's a carryover. The din min haTorah applies only to kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash, that they need kiddush adayim v'raglayim before they do hakrovos hakarbonos. We carry it over to davening. So before you daven, and the Vilna Goyim would follow the Rambam's shita. He would wash his hands before mincha and say the bracha on the kiddush adayim. He would wash his hands before Ma'ariv, also to the Baruch Ha'am until he said that. Remember years ago, Rav Soloveitchik used to give a weekly shiur for Balabatim on Tuesday night. There was a shul in the middle of Manhattan, on the corner of 80th Street and Broadway. Now there's a Gap store there. So the whole entrance, the whole hallway that led to this shul was closed down. But it used to be an office building, and on each floor there was something else. So on one flight up, the Balabatim from Antwerp, who were in diamonds, so they rented the second floor of this office building, and they made a shul there. So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to give a shul. He was officially the rabbi there for a few years. He lived in Boston, but every couple of weeks he would stay in the room on Shabbos and Tegantif and speak there in the shul. So every Tuesday night he gave a shul for many, many years. He gave a shul in Maria. That was called Maria Congregation. So he would, that people would come from out of town, people, businessmen would come from Europe to New York once a week. They would always make sure they're in New York on Tuesday night to go listen to the shiur. It was interesting. People came from out of town. So right after the shiur was over, the Balabatim wanted to daven ma'ariv. So they didn't give Rabbi Soloveitchik a chance to wash his hands. But he didn't say Baruch Hashem Le'olam. So whenever he sang Baruch Hashem Le'olam, he would run to the back of the shul and wash his hands, and then he would run back to the front. So he would be there when the chazan finished Kaddish, he would be there and he would say Shemone Esrei. He said that the washing your hands before you daven is really before you say the Shemone Esrei, not so much before you say Birchas Kriya Shema. And after, when he used to give shir in his classroom, so we would always daven right after, we would daven mincha right after the shir. They'd always run to the hall, down the hall, where there would be a sink or something to drink water here, or sometimes in the washroom. So he would wash his hands quickly with a cup and run back to the classroom. Didn't want to keep the students waiting. He'd always wash his hands. He wouldn't say the bracha. That the Vilna Gaon washed his hands with a bracha before mincha, before ma'ariv also. But that he wouldn't do. But he'd always be makpid to wash his hands with a cup. That's it's a carryover from the din of Kiddush HaDayim V'Raglayim in the Beis HaMikdash. That the Kohen had to wash their hands and their feet. How far down do you wash your hands? So that's a machlekes. The Gemara says you have to wash it more than for bread. So Tosfos says when you wash your bread, or you wake up in the morning, you wash till the knuckles. And when you wash with Kiddush HaDayim V'Raglayim, you wash till the wrist. Rashi Shitas, when you wash for bread, or you wash in the morning, you wash till the wrist. When you dash for duchening, you wash with Kiddush HaDayim V'Raglayim, wash till the elbow. So nobody does that. Nobody washes till the elbow. So obviously we don't follow Rashi. But all year long, when machmer like Rashi, to wash when you wake up in the morning, you wash for bread, we try to wash till the wrist. Be machmir for Rashi, but mikra din we clearly don't hold like Rashi. If we really adopt Rashi shita, then when the kohanim duchen, the Gemara said they have to wash an extra joint. Then nobody washes till the elbow. That's the mitzvah of kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Yeah, the Rambam writes that when you daven in the morning, you should wash your hands and your feet. But the rabbi says, wash your feet? Why should you wash your feet? Because the Rambam lived in a country where they walked barefoot. Rambam lived in Egypt, so their feet would be all dirty. The rabbi lived in a civilized part of the world. He lived in France. People wore shoes and socks. So he said, what are you going to wash your feet for? The feet are clean. You have to wash your hands. That mitzvah of Dalet is a mitzvah. Every day the Kohanim should light the menorah. They should light the menorah. The menorah is supposed to burn all night long. We have a carryover. We have the menorah and Hanukkah. But it's a mitzvah and a teres to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Mitzvah of Dalet, the Kohanim should duchen. They give brichas Kohanim. Kos Rochas B'nai Yisrael. How often do they have to duchen? So the menorah is only when called upon. If you don't ask them to duchen, then they're not b'chuyim. So the meaning by the Ashkenazim and the Chutz Lartz is we don't ask him to duchen all year long, we only ask him on Yontif. Because the Gemara says you have to be in a happy mood in order to give a bruch. But we assume that the Jews who live in Golus, Jews who live in Chutz Lartz, are always in a miserable mood. There's always something bad going on, always some pogrom or something, or anti-Semitism all over the world. So that's why we don't ask of the Kohanim. On Yontif, people are more relaxed. So the Kohanim are in a happy mood, so they do. When the Kohanim are in a lousy mood, so they don't want to do. It's a very difficult justification of the minig. More correct is that you should do it every day. But they quote the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch quote that the Gaon wanted to change the minig, and it didn't happen. And the other Gedolim also, Nas Nabla, also wanted to change the minig and it didn't work. So that's why they leave the minig a difficult minig. That the Kohanim only duchen on Yom Tov. Then we have mitzvah of Zion. It's a mitzvah every day, once a week, every week, to put lechem aponim on the shulchan. Lechem panim lefonai tomid. They would bake the lechem aponim on Friday. You're not allowed to bake it on Shabbos. It's a malocha. And it's not derech Shabbos. So they would bake 12. They would bake 12 challahs. The challahs have to be matzah, not challahs. So they didn't let it rise. Not like our challahs. There were 12 matzahs. And they had two piles of six lined up. Six on one pile, six on the other pile. They would put on the two lechem aponim on Shabbos morning and take off the old lechem aponim. The lechem aponim would sit there for a week. Then next week they would take new lechem aponim on Friday and take off the old lechem aponim, put on the new lechem aponim. So the Zohar mentions that on Shabbos, when we cut the challahs, we make a zecher lemon. That's why we have lechem mishnah, zecher lemon. We have shorter students, zecher lemon, because when they ate the mon, they divided it up into three meals. And the challahs that we have on Shabbos should also be zecher lelechem aponim. In what way? So you should have 12 challahs on the table. Some Hasidic rebbes do like that. They say, I'm mostly on two challahs, lechem mishnah, zecher lemon. They have another 10 challahs on the table. Other Hasidic rebbes have a practice that they make a challah that has 12 different parts to it. A lot of times you see that. You can pull out separate little challahs from the gigantic challah. They make 12 little challahs and then they push them all together, it gets baked together. Then when they say, I'm mostly, you don't have to cut it with a knife. You rip off one challah, another challah. You rip it off, it turns out to be 12. That's a zecher lechem aponim, that there were 12 lechem aponim. The Vilna Gaon always assumed that everything the Hasidim do is incorrect, everything they do is wrong. So he said they misunderstood the Zohar. The Zohar didn't mean you need 12 challahs because of 12 lechem aponim. The Zohar says you need two challahs on Friday night and you cut both. Two challahs on Shabbos morning and you cut both, even though you don't plan to eat both. The Vilna Gaon follows the Rashbo on Brochas, that the challah that you don't cut is as if it's still in the bakery. It's not mitzdarf to the Lecha Mishnah. So if you're going to have two challahs on Friday night, two challahs on Shabbos morning, two challahs on Shalosh Shudas, so you have two and two is six. Cut them all in half, so you have 12. Chatzoy. So he said there's a misprint in the Zohar. It says 12 challahs, it should say 12 chatzoy, 12 half challahs. That's what the Misnagdim do. The Misnagdim are makbid to cut both challahs. when you have Lech HaMishnah, they cut both challahs, even though they only plan to eat one of them. And then you have, throughout the course of the day, you have two and two, you have six challahs, and each one is cut in half, so you have 12 chatzorah challahs. That's the zechel of Lechem HaPanim. Also, the shape. The Gemara said, why is it called Lechem HaPanim? Because it had a specific shape. What was the shape of the Lechem HaPanim? So the Gemara has two different opinions. One opinion is that it's like a sphina roketis. It's like a canoe. That it comes to a point at each end and it's wide in the middle. So that's one kind of challah. The geflochten challahs. Those that have braids, they make a challah with a braid. So it's pointy on the two ends and it's fat in the middle. Then so one opinion is that's what the lechem haponim had, that shape. The lechem haponim means it has a ponim, it has a specific shape. The other opinion of the Gemara is, no, it was kibinsvino roketis. It was like a rectangular trunk. So that's the other kind of challah, the sectional challah that looks like a rectangle, and it's like a trunk. On yontif, the meaning is that you have round challahs. Because yontif, the challahs are not zechel lechem haponim. Zechel lechem haponim, that's only on Shabbos, because they would exchange the lechem haponim on the shulchan every Shabbos morning. So it's a difference in the shape. And the Chazon Ish has a comment. What shape does lechem haponim have to be? So he says either shape is acceptable. Either kinin sfina or kedes, either like a canoe shape with the two points at the end, with the braids in the middle, or kinin teva prutza, like a big trunk, rectangular shape. Either shape is good. So that's the minute. And for Shabbos dikachalos have a specific shape. Yontav dikachalos, I'm not zechel lechem haponim. So you don't need such a shape. Yontav dikachalos is zechel lechem mishnah. Zechel aman. But the Gemara says, even on the Chumash, it doesn't say. Chumash, it just says the man didn't fall down on Shabbos. Never says that the man didn't fall down on Yontav. But the Gemara, the first daf in Beitza says that the man did not fall down not on Shabbos, not on Yontav. So that's why you need Lechem Mishnah and Yontav also. So that's Mitzvah Chav Zayin to have Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan Erev. Mitzvah Chav Ches, that the Kohanim should bring Ketores twice a day, every day. Ketores in the morning and Ketores in the evening. That's what we mentioned already, that the Rambam counts this as one mitzvah, half of the mitzvah in the morning, half of the mitzvah in the evening, and the Rambam thinks it should be counted as two mitzvahs, Kriya Shema in the morning, Kriya Shema in the evening. The Rambam counts it as one mitzvah, the Rambam thinks it's two mitzvahs, Tom Shal Shachat, Tom Shal Bein Habayim. Also, the Rambam thinks there is one big mitzvah, and the Ramban thinks that they're two distinct things. So the Torah twice a day, every day, the Ramban counts it as one mitzvah, the Ramban thinks that it should be counted as two mitzvahs. Then the Ramban is listing off all the things about the Beis HaMikdash, and he says, mitzvah chavtes, that we have to have, esh tamid tugar al ha-mizbech lo sichta. You have to have a fire burning on the mizbech all the time, even if you're not offering any karbanos. You have to have, there was a separate medura. The Gemara, the Mishnayos and Yuma have a machlokes ha-tanaim. How many bonfires were there on top of the Mizbeach? So every day there was a fire just for Eish Tamid Tukar on Mizbeach. The Kim Ho'esh. That's what the Rambam has here. Mitzvah Chavtes, Mitzvah, there should always be a fire burning on the Mizbeach, even at the time that they have no karbanas to burn. There'd always be a fire. Eish Tamid Tukar on Mizbeach, no sichna. It's based on that a lot of shuls have an Eish Tamid, they have a light in front of the shulchan where the shliach tzibur is going to, in front of the omud, there's a candle burning or an electric bulb burning that they call an esh tamid. That's zecher to the esh. The Beis HaKnesses is a mikdash miyat. Different parts of the Beis HaKnesses are supposed to be parallel to the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. So you have an esh tamid by the shliach tzibur. So esh tamid is a dinah, the mizbech. Then mitzvah lamed, every day the Kohanim have to take off Shumas Adeshin. Shumas Adeshin, they take a Meloi HaMachta, and they take a little bit, then they put it on the floor. After a week or two, you're going to have tons of Deshin, Ish, on the Mizbeach, then they have to do Haitzos Adeshin. That's a different mitzvah. But every single day, there's a mitzvah of Shumas Adeshin. Just like when you mafrish Truma, when you have a lot of fruit, a vegetable, a grew in Eretzal, mafrish Truma. So when you mafrish truma, that becomes truma and has an effect on everything else. All the rest of the fruits and vegetables are no longer tevel. Everything becomes chulam misukanim. When you do hafrashas Trumas Adeshen, you take off a little bit of Truma, it's considered Niskaima Mitzvasa, and the rest of the Eshes no longer have a din of Me'ila. Let's say when you burn a carbon on the Mizbech, so you burn all the, let's say you burn all carbonis, you burn the chalas. Carbonoli, you burn everything, you burn even the basa. So once you've burnt everything, so there shouldn't be any din of Me'ila anymore. And shouldn't have a din of me'ila. So the Gemara said, but you didn't finish the mitzvah yet. Until you do Trumas Hadeshen in the morning, the mitzvah was not niskaima. But after you do Trumas Hadeshen, then you leave the rest of the deshen, and the rest of the deshen, there's no longer any din me'ila, niskaima mitzvah.
So where they put the Trumas Hadeshen, the ash that they did with the Trumas?
They threw it on the floor next to the Mizbech and the Beis HaMikdash, and for year after year a miracle occurred, it would be swallowed up by the floor. It would be absorbed in the floor. That's one of the miracles that occurred every day in the Beis HaMikdash, that the Trumas HaDesh they put on the floor next to the Mizbech, and it would get swallowed up. Okay, maybe we'll stop there by Mitzvah Lamed Aleph. Shiluach Tmeyim Min HaMachneh. Okay.